Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the RTL Group Interim Results Analyst Conference Call. My name is Dave, and I'll be your coordinator for today's conference. For the duration of the call, you will be on listen only. However, at the end of the call, you'll have the opportunity to ask questions. If at any time you need assistance, please press star zero on your telephone keypad, and you'll be connected to an operator. I'm now handing you over to Andrew Buckhurst to begin today's conference. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Andrew Buckhurst, Head of Investor Relations at RTL Group. Thank you for joining this conference call for our results for the first half of 2014. On page two, you will find the agenda. First, the highlights, then a quick review of the financials, followed by a review of our main business segments, an update on our outlook, and finally, a short strategic update. I'd like now to introduce our speakers for today, our co-CEOs, Anke Schäferkordt and Guillaume de Posch, and the Group CFO, Elmar Heggen. I will now hand over to Anke, who will begin today's presentation on page three.
Thank you, Andrew, and good morning from me as well. Overall, we had a solid first half year. Advertising markets have, in most cases, recovered from some of the lost ground of last year, and despite the strong sports events in 2014, our broadcasters have delivered good audience shares. With the recent acquisitions of Spot Exchange and 495 Productions, we have also made important investment capturing growth opportunities both in digital and content. However, some factors weigh on our half-year results. The economic environment in France remains difficult. Furthermore, we have to cope with the significant damage caused by the new advertising tax in Hungary. Looking now at our results for the first half of 2014. As just stated, we have seen improving TV advertising market conditions in most European countries, although, and this will not come as a surprise, France remains the notable exception. Accordingly, while Groupe M6 and RTL Radio reported declines in profitability, all our other major broadcasters reported higher or stable profit contributions year on year. Fremantle Media has had a difficult start into the year. Their business has been impacted by significant foreign exchange translation losses for the second year in a row. It has also suffered from a lower revenue in the US and Asia. As a result, group revenue has decreased to 2.7 billion euros, with EBITA down 6% to 519 million euros. This was mainly due to the lower advertising revenue at Groupe M6 and the lower contribution from Fremantle Media. Both Germany and the Netherlands delivered good margin growth. The reported net profit for RTL Group shareholders fell almost 52% to 202 million euros. On an underlying basis, which excludes the impairments, our net profit fell 13% to 301 million euros. Elmar will talk about the various charges in more detail shortly. Our cash conversion rate remains strong, and with the timing of working capital movements, we expect to deliver higher levels during the second half of the year. At the 30th of June, the group's net debt was 475 million euros, below our guidance on gearing levels. Accordingly, the board has decided to make an extraordinary interim dividend payment of 2 euros per share on the 4th of September. Based on our current cash flow forecast, this will ensure the group ends the year within the net debt to EBITDA guidance. I will now hand over to Elmar for the financial review.
Thank you, Anke, and good morning from me as well. Turning now to the financial review on page number 5. Before going into details, I would like to point out that we have restated our 2013 numbers to take into account the impact of IFRS 11. Reported group revenue was down 2.5% to 2,687 million euros. Underlying revenue, which is at constant scope and exchange rates, fell by a similar level as the reported revenue. The main scope changes are the exit of Mr. Goodyear, the first-time consolidation of 495 Productions, and the scope effect of broadband TV, which the group acquired at the end of June last year. We continued to invest on screen and in digital, while also maintaining our focus on cost efficiency. As a result, group operating expenses fell slightly by 28 million euros, or 1.3%, compared to a year ago. This results, as mentioned by Anke, in a reported EBITDA of 519 million euros. Our EBITDA also slightly decreased to 614 million euros, resulting in a 22.9% EBITDA margin, practically stable year on year. Moving now to the next page. The net profit attributable to RTL Group shareholders for the period was 202 million euros compared to 418 million euros last year. This reflects the lower level of EBITDA, higher interest charges as the group's new capital structure only came into effect in March 2013, and, more importantly, as Anke mentioned, a very large swing in impairments. In 2013, we reversed an impairment on RTL Group's shareholding in Atlas Media, amounting to a positive 72 million euro. This compares to a charge amounting to 88 million euros in 2014. 77 million euros of this is against our Hungarian operations. In addition to the goodwill impairment, we have also written off 9 million euros of intangible assets against our Hungarian business. And finally, as we indicated in March, the commission income we received from Bertelsmann linked to the tax pooling in Germany was lower by 10 million at 30th of June at 21 million euro this year. This translates into earnings per share of 1.32 euro per share, down from 2.72 euros per share last year. Moving now to cash flow. Our cash conversion ratio remains high at 90% of EBITDA, but below the exceptional levels of last year. The main reason for this slightly weaker performance is due to movements in working capital. This is largely timing, as some of our broadcast operations, especially Group M6, have seen a shift from off-balance sheet program rights to on-balance sheet, resulting in higher inventory. Management expects this situation to partially reverse throughout the remainder of this year, as a portion of these rights will be broadcast. Moving on to page number 8, net debt position of 475 million euros will obviously be reduced by the dividend payment announced today, and also for the acquisition of Spot Exchange, which is expected to close at the beginning of next month. After these payments are made, the group is still retains substantial financial flexibility to deliver on its strategy. I will now hand back over to Anke, who will start the business review.
Thanks, Elmar. We are starting on page 10 with Mediengruppe RTL Deutschland. Overall, we had a solid first half in Germany. And whilst I'm obviously proud as a German that we won the World Cup, unfortunately, the games were on the public broadcaster. As a result of the sports events in both quarter one with the Olympics and quarter two with the World Cup, our audience shares have been negatively impacted. We have also experienced weaknesses in our daytime schedule on RTL television. Accordingly, our main channel reported a share of 13.1% and our second-tier channel boxed a share of 6.6%. RTL Nitro continues to report strong growth and despite being just 2 years old, already has an audience share of 1.55%, up 0.7 percentage points on last year. And looking at the family as a whole, RTL Group maintained 4 percentage points lead over its main commercial competitor. We are confident that our schedule for the second half of the year will address some of these issues with the launch of Rising Star at the end of this month, the biggest show Got Talent ever, and two matches of the German national team and a couple of new daytime formats. In terms of financials, on page 11, we see that overall revenue was flat in an advertising market estimated to be up between 2 and 3%. EBITDA improved to 313 million euros, a new record half year result with a margin up to at almost 34%. This performance was mainly driven by a growing digital distribution business, higher profit contributions from associates, and slightly lower programming costs. I will now hand over to Guillaume for the remainder of the business review.
Thank you, Anke, and hello everyone from my side as well. Turning now to Group M6 on slide number 12. M6 delivered an audience share of 15.5% in the key commercial demo, with primetime entertainment and lifestyle magazines performing well. W9 attracted in turn an audience share of 3.7%, down 0.5 points on the same period last year, while Sister grew 0.5 percentage points to 1.3%, establishing itself as the leader among the new DTT channels launched in December 2012. Overall, we can say that against soccer, the family of free-to-air channels reported a slight decrease in audience share to 20.5%, but the market leader also lost share with soccer, and so the gap remained constant. Moving on to the next page on slide 13. It's no surprise to you, the French TV advertising market remains tough. We estimate the market was down 2.4% over the first half of 2014, with M6 advertising revenues down 3.7% across its free-to-air channels. Again, please bear in mind that TF1, its main competitor, had the World Cup on air. Overall, revenue was down slightly, reflecting not just the tough ad market, but also the sale of Mr. Good Deal at the end of quarter one this year. Please note that we have a different accounting treatment to that of Group M6, as they have treated Mr. Good Deal as a discontinued operations and therefore posted a flat revenue versus last year. Due to the weak advertising market, EBITDA decreased to €113 million from €127 million last year. We were, as you can see, able to mitigate our EBITDA through diversification revenues and contributions, which continue to perform well with a plus 7.5% increase in revenue in the first half. Turning now to the Netherlands on page 14. The combined audience share was 31.8%, clearly ahead of the public broadcasters, again, who had the World Cup and the Olympics, and also of the SBS group. This is clearly a good overall performance. In terms of financials, as seen on the next page, slide 15, RTL Nederland shows a strong revenue and EBITDA growth. Revenue was indeed up 6.7% year-on-year, in a spot advertising market estimated to be up 8.2%. This revenue growth was driven by advertising, but also by higher digital and distribution revenues. EBITDA was up €6 million, or almost 16% to €44 million. Turning now to RTL Belgium on page 16. The combined audience share was 35.2%, clearly ahead of the public broadcasters, again, without soccer as far as we are concerned, reinforcing the leading market position of RTL Belgium. Revenue has slightly decreased to €102 million, or 2.9%. EBITDA improved slightly, resulting in a margin of 25.5%. We now look at our French radio business on slide 17. In a net radio advertising market estimated to be down 2.4%, in a way similar to the TV ad market, our radio business in France reported revenues of €18 million, down last year by 7%. Accordingly, given the high degree of fixed cost within the radio business, EBITDA of the profit center declined to €7 million. RTL Group's French radio family had a combined share of 17.8% in the first half, down from 18.5% last year. And now on page 18, to some of the operations which are reported under our segment, Qualified Others. In Hungary, the advertising market returned to growth by an estimated 3.3% after 5 years of consecutive decline. Accordingly, revenue rose 2.2% to €46 million. But despite this strong performance in the ad market, due to the impact of a new advertising tax introduced by the Hungarian government, not only has the group been forced to impair its total goodwill, but also, under IFRS rules, to impair some intangible assets. These specific impairments are recorded against EBITDA and amounted to 2 million euros. But despite these impairments, RTL Hungary reported a flat year-on-year EBITDA of 5 million euros. Obviously, RTL Group's management will pursue all options to protect its asset in Hungary against these confiscatory effects of this new regulation, which has already been very harmful to the group. In Croatia, revenue was stable in a TV advertising market that is up year on year. A break-even position has been maintained. And finally, a few words on Spain. The Spanish TV advertising market continues to show signs of recovery, with the market up 5.7% during the first 6 months of 2014. Atres Media outperformed the market, growing revenue by 6.5% to 451 million euros. The group's EBITDA rose strongly by 50% to 60 million euros. RTL Group recorded a contribution to its EBITDA of 7 million euros, up from 6 million euros in 2013. And now on slide 19 to Fremantle Media. First of all, the numbers. Revenue decreased by some 43 million euros compared to 2013 to 623 million euros, which is disappointing. If you look at the right-hand side of the slide, almost half of this decrease, or some 19 million euros, is due to continued negative foreign exchange losses. Please bear in mind that we operate in the U.S. The remainder is primarily due to lower production volumes and distribution revenue, the main contributor being the fewer episodes of American Idol in the U.S. again that have been produced and sold internationally this year. EBITDA was down at 29 million euros, reflecting the weaker revenue that I just indicated, but also some one-off costs at the corporate center, and I might indicate in this group that this is linked to some due diligence that we did on big assets, as are you aware, which were in the market this year, which we finally decided not to buy. We could have done so simply because our due diligence findings and, I would say, cost discipline led us not to invest in this asset, although this would have stepped up, obviously, our operations. But still, it didn't meet our investment criteria. Now, a few words on the operations of Fremantle. During the first half of 2014, six entertainment formats traveled to a combined 15 new territories. Just to take X Factor traveled to three new territories, Georgia, Slovakia, Vietnam, taking the total to 45 countries. Family Feud is now in 61 countries. This is one of the oldest format of Fremantle and still traveling around. The Noise, Idols, Project Runway, Take Me Out, and Birds of a Feather all travel to new territories. In total, 43 new launches were made this year by Fremantle during the first half of the year, of which there were 5 drama shows and 18 were brand new format. Fremantle formats could continue to deliver strong audience demos. Just to take another example, Got Talent was named this year the Guinness World Record most successful reality TV format ever. We also extended our network of international offices with opening in Spain, Sweden, and a new sales team for the Middle East and North America. We also had a very strong first half at Fremantle in digital with 3.7 billion views of Fremantle content on YouTube. We're making progress, but fact of the matter is that it takes more time than we originally anticipated. And the results that I indicated underline the necessary priorities in content going forward. First and foremost, we will continue producing, acquiring, and airing the best TV content. Finding the new hits, whether they're big or small, is a joint priority for both our broadcasters and, of course, for Fremantle Media. Strengthening the creative pipeline and ultimately improving the profit margin of Fremantle requires targeted investment in new talent, genres, and geographical areas. The recent acquisitions, for example, of US-based 495 Production, which is a cable producer, female skewed, is a good practical example of this. But again, we are bound to our financial investment criteria, and therefore we are very selective in the targets that we acquired. We still remain committed to scaling up our global content arm further, but it will take more time than expected, as indicated. This concludes the business review. I'll now hand back to Anke for the outlook, which is shown on page 21.
Thanks, Guillaume. Overall, we have achieved a solid operating performance with record results from our biggest profit center in Germany and significantly higher EBITDA from RTL Netherlands. We've also made consistent progress on implementing our broadcast, content, and digital strategy. In contrast, we've been held back by the economic situation in France, foreign exchange conditions, and events in Hungary. Given these elements and the current financial performance of Fremantle Media, our guidance for the full year 2014 is now that revenue will be slightly down, while EBITDA will be down more significantly when compared to the revenue decline. We continue to remain focused on our three strategic priorities. First and foremost, as Guillaume pointed out, producing, acquiring, and airing the best TV content. Second, developing our position in online video, which will be a key driver of future growth. And third, monetizing our digital reach, which is growing rapidly, and in this respect, Spot Exchange is a cornerstone investment for us. This provides a perfect introduction to the strategic update on page 23. As part of our broadcast strategy, we have consistently targeted growth in our non-advertising business. Part of this strategy comes via the retransmission fees we are able to collect from various platform operators. RTL Group's platform revenue generated 100 million euros, up over 16% on a year ago. This is being driven in particular by the growth of the German HD model. At the end of June, the number of HD subscribers amounted to 4.8 million, 600,000 more than at the end of December 2013, and up 1.1 million, or almost 30%, on a year ago. And there is still plenty of remaining growth potential. Moving to page 24. As we stated more than a year ago, online video is at the heart of our digital strategy. We continue to improve and develop our VOD offers. Most recently, we launched NLZiet in the Netherlands, an SVOD offer from both the commercial and public broadcasters. In-house web originals such as MC's Golden Moustache or Fremantle Media's more than 160 YouTube channels continue to attract growing numbers of users. In total, the group generated 15.7 billion video views in the first 6 months of this year, an incredible growth rate of more than 200%. Revenue from our digital business grew 10% to 113 million euros and is expected to continue to grow double-digit for the remainder of this year. Looking now at our MCN business in a bit more detail. As you can see, the group's targeted early investments in this area have developed very promisingly. Broadband TV is the number three worldwide, while StyleHole is a global leader in the style and fashion genre. And with Divimove, we own a stake in Europe's largest MCN. Across all three of our MCNs, the number of video views has grown substantially, with broadband TV now delivering in excess of 2 billion views each month. Revenue growth has also been impressive, with revenues more than doubling at broadband TV and StyleHole, while Divimove's revenue grew more than five times. These developments are extremely encouraging for our long-term future of the group, and we will continue to look for further investment opportunities in this space. I will now hand back over to Guillaume.
Talking about new opportunities on slide 26, you can see that our positioning of the group in the digital space has recently been enhanced and complemented by the acquisition of Spot Exchange, one of the top five video ad properties in the U.S. and worldwide. The acquisition of SpotX was the logical next step in our strategy, a structural move into the area of digital monetization after having enhanced our position in the content aggregation segment of the digital space. Spot Exchange has a first-class management team that has built a leading state-of-the-art technology platform for programmatic selling of online video advertising, which is obviously a key competence that the group acquired. It also represents a unique opportunity to enhance RTL Group presence in the world's biggest and most advanced TV and online market. Looking now at page 27, we believe that the market segment of programmatic advertising represents a stronger growth area within the wider online video segment. This market is expected to grow on a CAGR basis by close to 40% over the next 4 years. Our acquisition of Spot Exchange means that the group has an additional dynamic growth driver in the digital space. So to summarize on page 28, we have a consistent set of priorities in digital. I believe that among all European broadcasters, we are the most advanced, actually, in the space, and we have made significant progress across all four areas. First, our business is growing double-digit. Second, our core nonlinear offers continue to expand. Third, through a number of early and high-quality investments, we have developed and strengthened both our MCN business and, finally, our abilities and skill sets in the online advertising sales arena with Spot Exchange. That concludes the formal section of the call. We thank you for that. We're now available, obviously, to answer any questions you might have. And I leave it to Andrew and to the moderator.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you change your mind and want to withdraw your question, please press star 1 again. You will be advised when to ask your question. The first question is from the line of Christopher Jonen from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my questions. First one on Fremantle. The revenue bridge was quite helpful. Maybe you can guide us a bit on what to expect in the second half. For example, I think Idol dropped out in the U.S. in May, so the lower volume issue should somewhat reverse. I mean, maybe just in general, you have a comment on what to expect in H2 and maybe also when you expect a return to double-digit margins at Fremantle on a full-year basis. And then related to that, discussing sort of the impairment risk, I saw that you revised the 10-year plan down for Fremantle with essentially the headroom going to zero. I mean, can you discuss the drivers of that revision? And I guess any comment on that subject would be helpful. And then on second question on RTL Deutschland, on the audience shares. I mean, I know I pretty much asked the same question during Q1 as well, but the audience shares in Germany are a bit under pressure, and you know, I would assume that more so than you thought maybe at the beginning of the year, even excluding the Olympics and the World Cup. So do you think there's going to be a higher investment need for Germany for the rest of the year and maybe also looking at next year? You mentioned, you know, the sort of a rising star and Got Talent and the qualifying games in H2, but in terms of the performance on the audience shares, especially since I remember that I think it was Anke who said some time ago that, you know, in the future no single channel would have a higher audience share than say 10%. So I'm kind of wondering, an underlying deterioration in Germany. Thanks.
Okay, so I'll take the first two questions on Fremantle. First of all, as far as the revenues are concerned on a full year basis. Basically, we expect, based on the performance on the first half, probably a slight drop in revenues at Fremantle on a full-year basis. You have, of course, to take into account that X-Factor was cancelled, and X-Factor is actually broadcast in the second half, and that explains why revenues might be slightly down.
X-Factor US, Chris.
X-Factor US, of course, yeah. Concerning the margins on a full year basis, it's really too early to give guidance on this one. I just restate what I said before. The margins ramp up will take more time than we originally expected on Fremantle. As far as the impairment exercise is concerned, as you know, we are always very conservative in the way we do our impairment exercises. The fact that the headroom is extremely limited at Fremantle, in my view, is not any particular issue.
if you just look at the EBITDA multiple, the underlying EBITDA multiple, based on the carrying amount, you would see that this EBITDA multiple is in the tune of 9 to 9.5. When you see the recent M&A which happened in the space, it's actually multiples are far north of that. Therefore, no real area of concern on that one. On RTL Germany, Anke, you might want to...
Yes. You're absolutely right. The decrease in audience shares of RTL was a little bit more than we expected for the first half of this year. There are a couple of effects. A long-term effect still is fragmentation, and I'm still absolutely sure that, and this is not only relates not only to RTL, but to all the other channels in Germany. We will not come back to the level we generated a couple of years ago, as there is fragmentation going on in the market, and as there are more than 100 channels available to our viewers. But, of course, our goal is for the future with RTL to be the strong market leader. And there are a couple of effects in the first half of this year. You mentioned the sports events. Especially the World Cup hit us even a little bit harder than we expected. This is due to one main effect. RTL, the flagship channel RTL, generates a lot of audience in access primetime and primetime. And given the time zone this time of the World Cup, those two time slots were affected the most, while other channels, which generate most of their audience or more of their audience in daytime, were less affected. But besides the sports events, there's another effect relating to the time zone daytime, because our daytime programming proved to be weaker than we expected. The decrease of scripted realities was quicker than we expected, and this is why in fall this year we will come out with a couple of new formats for daytime. And as you mentioned earlier, we will have a couple of new shows, a quite strong lineup with RTL. In fall, Got Talent, Pharmacy's Wife, all the success-proven hits will come back. And also we will launch a new show, which is Rising Star, and a couple of new in-house developments. We will have a strong sports lineup with the qualifiers, with the boxing events, and with the Formula One coming back after the summer pause. So I'm pretty sure that RTL is going to increase its shares from September on. Regarding Vox, you actually see in August that we are back on track and now reaching more than 7% audience shares. So here I'm absolutely sure we are on track with this channel.
Can I ask a quick follow-up? So the underlying cost inflation guidance you've given, you know, sort of in line with general inflation is then still still valid, and I guess you're then also not too worried about the ratings of Rising Star in the US?
No, because we have seen other countries where Rising Star performed extremely well, and it's always a question of time slot programming, competition in this time slot, and we can say that while it's in the U.S. not the strongest format, it was in a couple of other countries. So, yeah, we expect it to perform well in Germany. Of course, this is why we do it.
Thank you.
We have a question now from the line of Charles Bedoul from Exane. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone. Coming back on some of the issues raised in previous question, it's been now a couple of years of decline and probably a relatively negative surprise at Fremantle. What kind of visibility you have on the ramp up, and can you give us a little bit more explanation about what you expect from H2? Because we have significant decline in Q2. You said that a big US show is being cancelled. So isn't your previous comment relatively optimistic? And could we see actually a bigger drop than what you alluded to in H2 and maybe also next year after all? That's my first question. And I would say the second question is probably something you've discussed in the past, but where do you draw the balance in terms of profitability and market share gain in Germany in particular? I'd be curious to see where do you see the optimal margin for the business and where do you see the optimal, I would say, or at least optimal relative audience versus your main competitor in German TV. Thanks.
Okay, Charles, I'll take the first question. And again, on Fremantle, a couple of comments. First, be aware, and this you know, that obviously it's difficult to look at this business on a quarter basis. You need to look at it on a full year basis. That's point one. Point two, we already gave guidance beforehand that the EBITDA on a full year basis of Fremantle will be lower than last year. And this reflects basically the difficulties that we have in on the revenue line. You saw it for H1. And again, on a full year basis, revenue will post this slight decline, as I indicated. Longer term, it's really too early to say because, as you know, we have got obviously our internal pipeline, but we're also doing acquisitions along the flow. 495 was a good example thereof. I will just limit my comment by saying that when we say that the ramp up in margin would take, 3 years, my view is that based on the current performance, could take more, put five. To be on the safe side.
Regarding Germany, of course, there is not the balance we are looking for in comparison to our competitors in audience shares, or there's not the exact margin. But I think, as I pointed out last time, I do not believe that the margin we generated in the first half of the year of much more than 30% is a sustainable margin on the long run. But we will have a margin of approximately 30% in the upcoming months and probably next year. In terms of audience, our first goal is that we want to be the market leader with RTL in the target group 14 to 59, and that we want to be in the same target group, the market leader with our portfolio of channels, with Mediengruppe RTL Germany in comparison to our main competitors. This is our goal. And our goal is, of course, to cater for the audience which are in demand in the advertising industry. And you can't point out a single market share for one station, which is the optimum on the long run. Because what we have seen, I talked earlier, sorry, about fragmentation in the market. What we have seen is that high reach in television will be much more valuable in the future given the fragmentation in the markets. And this is why it's important to have strong prime time, access prime time, and early late night audiences, because those generate the highest reach, and this will be even in more demand in the future in the advertising community. So it's a balance of a couple of factors. There's not this one audience share I would mention. It's a portfolio question within the group.
Thank you very much. And if I may, just a quick follow-up question.
Sure.
Can you give us, I know you don't necessarily guide on this, but some color on how, the start of, let's say, September and the start of Q3 is going in on the French market, please?
On the French or on the German?
Well, let's do a little round table of all the main countries, so that, because the question would come anyway. So, Anke,
Then I start with Germany. What I haven't mentioned when I talked about the German figures in the first half, that we have a strong indication from talks with agencies and advertising clients that we had, we didn't expect that, more a backloading for our group than a front loading. So clients and agencies told us that they expected to be stronger in the second half and regain a little bit of market share in the second half. And this is what our bookings for August and September, although September there's low visibility, but what we see today looks promising for those 2 months after the World Cup. So we have a promising indication from pre-bookings for August and September in Germany.
As far as France is concerned, well, first of all, please bear in mind that we have got diversification revenues, which represent on the first half of 2014, 35% of total revenues. But on this one, as you know, M6, which is publicly quoted, did a press release on July 29 that you might refer to. But just giving you a bit more color on the ad market, if you look at the ad market overall for Q3, it's obviously still early to say because September is the largest month, but let's say that if you look at the dynamics quarter by quarter, Q1 for M6 was down -2%, Q2 was down -6%, obviously because TF1, the main competitor, had the World Cup, so no surprise. And then Q3, we hope, will perform a little bit better, obviously, if you take out this Q2 World Cup effect. On a full-year basis, the guidance doesn't change. I believe that some other competitors gave some guidance saying that on a full-year basis the market will be down. You know, I would personally assume that it might be down by, let's say, in the order of magnitude of -3%. In particular, if you look at the, for example, the GDP growth of France in Q2 is zilch, zero. Q1 was zero, Q2 is zero. So why would it change in the last two quarters? As far as Holland is concerned, there the dynamics is actually fairly strong, although the underlying macros, if you look at the GDP, are not fantastic. But RTL Netherlands grew by +4.5% in Q1, +1.5% in Q2. July, obviously, was still impacted by the World Cup. And needless to say, the Dutch performing well in the World Cup that had basically rating negative impact on RTL Netherlands. I'm reasonably optimistic. On Q3 as far as Holland is concerned. Little Belgium, South, there, you know, Q1 was at +3%, Q2 was at -1%. I would say situation is stable. It is a more minor market. And finally, Hungary and Croatia, this is a bit the whole paradox of the system with this tax, is that actually the underlying economics in Eastern Europe are picking up. If I take RTL Hungary, Q1 was +2%, Q2 +9%, and Q3 had a very solid start as far as Hungary is concerned, and Croatia, this is a very tiny market, but basically is flat to slightly positive up to a year to date, and Q3 should be okay, I would say, with no real surprise. So to sum it up, I think situation is broadly speaking stable to slightly up, and we've got one notable exception as usual, which is the Hexagon, France.
Thank you very much.
The next question is from the line of Sonia Rabusier from Commerzbank. Please go ahead, Sonia.
Okay, thank you. Many questions have already been answered, but to come back to your guidance, you said decline in revenues and stronger decline in EBITDA. So far, the market expected -1.8, so approximately 2% for revenues and flat EBITDA. Maybe you can tell us if you feel okay with the revenue expectations of -2% and EBITDA. You are more pessimistic view is purely owing to Fremantle, or do you see worse development in other divisions? Thank you.
I think that the percentage deviation in terms of revenue is pretty much what we would deem to be accurate at this point in time. When we talk about a slight decrease, we typically mean single-digit percentage decreases. So 2.5 plus minus 0.5%, this is what we consider to be slightly. So I can confirm this. On EBITDA, let's not forget that there was recently this introduction of the advertising sales tax in Hungary that nobody, by the way, had on the screen when we last spoke. That obviously will result also already in 2014 in a meaningful impact. And obviously there was the concerns that we just discussed when we talk about Fremantle, but also the macro situation that translates into advertising performance of M6. So all in all, here we expect that we will be down compared to prior year, mid-single-digit percentage, and that is, I think, the best picture that we can give you as of today.
Okay, thank you. Just a follow-up question. Tax rate for the coming year, maybe because of the agreement you have with Bertelsmann?
Yes, I mean, we already explained last time that we have, by the end of 2013, used up the trade tax losses available. So the commission income that we have seen in the past is not going to be coming in at the same model of attitude. That basically means that we should expect the tax rate to more converge towards the expected 30% over time.
Okay, thank you.
We have a question from Laurie Davison from Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead, Laurie.
Hi there, guys. It's Laurie here from Deutsche. The first question is just on the divvy. So you've just paid out €2 as an interim, which is pretty close to what we got last year, which was 2.5. Should we be thinking that the final year payout should be pretty similar to the 7 from last year? And the second question is that given that a lot of the impacts this year are one-off, would you be thinking about moving beyond the lower end of your leverage range, which is where you ended up last year, when considering that full year payout? The other question is just on the German and French advertising outlook you gave. You mentioned that Germany started out strongly for third quarter and you've got some backloading. How are you thinking now about full year for a German TV advertising growth? Thanks.
Laurie, let me start with the dividend question. We have shown a net debt position of €475 million as of the 30th of June. With the €2 extraordinary interim dividend payment, which is amounting to more than €300 million, plus the purchase price on the acquisition of Spot Exchange being north of €100 million, we are pretty much in the middle of the range that we have indicated, because if you cum it up and add the €400 million plus to it, well, obviously we will see some additional cash coming in throughout the second half of the year. But I think that here we're pretty much in the middle, and we continue to obviously explore opportunities. But again, we are not in a position yet to give any kind of guidance on that. It's simply too early. But I think that we are basically very much executing the line that was presented as part of the re-IPO. So we will continue to run the company within this gearing range that we communicated.
Coming back to the German advertising market, we haven't talked about July because July was once again affected by the World Cup and quite a weak month. When I talked about August and September, I talked about our figures of Mediengruppe, because at the moment I don't have any visibility of the market development for the upcoming months. I guess the market will be up. But our bookings indicate that we as Mediengruppe will be quite strong in August and maybe even in September. To give an outlook for the last quarter of this year for the market and even for ourselves is much too early, as we don't have any indication for these months. And although we have seen regarding the outlooks of the German climate overall that this is weakening, we haven't had any indication yet from clients and from agencies that this is going to be to affect also the advertising market in the second half of this year. But of course, the downward trend of the IFO index was disappointing to the market.
Okay, just quick follow up. So just understand the leverage situation. You're now at the midpoint of the range. Does that the end of last year you paid out to go to the bottom end? So should we be assuming that sort of midpoint within the leverage range is somewhere where you're comfortable after the full year? And then the second follow up just on the Germany issue, could you just give us a number for August and September? I completely understand you can't give a number for fourth quarter at this point. It's too early to say, but could you give us an idea of how August and September or maybe the third quarter are tracking just in terms of a number?
Yeah, maybe quickly on dividends, Laurie. It's really too early because, we will tackle this discussion at each and every closing, because we'll look at what we've been able to reinvest into accretive growth And also we have to watch the development of the net cash position as such. So I think that now we feel comfortable after having then paid this interim dividend. We will be in the middle of this range. Where we will be at the end of this year will depend on our ability to reinvest parts of the cash into accretive growth. And as we cannot give you a precise view on what we will end up doing, we will have the discussion with the board at the end of the year and then again decide about the dividend.
Understood. All right.
Sorry, but I can't give detailed figures because it's much too early. What I can say today in regard to August that as per today, and this, there might, of course, be changes for September as well, we are up. Positively up in comparison to last year, and it will be around mid-single digit, a little bit higher in August. But it's a little bit too early to say. We don't have the visibility on the full month yet, and we don't have the visibility on September yet, but it seems to be quite positive in comparison to last year.
Okay, that's very helpful. Thanks.
The next question is from Christian Glower from H&A. Please go ahead, Christian.
Hey, morning. Thanks for taking my questions. First question would be on Group M6. We are seeing revenue and EBITDA decline. Can you please remind us how much of that is due to organic and how much of that is due to deconsolidations? Then my second question would be about the Hungary business. You said that you will do everything possible to protect your assets. However, as far as I remember, we just generated an EBITDA of about 50 million last year, but you reported impairments of about 90 million, indicating that you have already impaired assets. Can you please comment a bit more on detail on that issue and what we have to expect looking forward?
Okay, so I think the first question, as far as M6 is concerned, basically most of it, of the EBITDA decline, is organic. The deconsolidation effect is basically linked to Mr. Good Deal, but this is really, I would say, very tiny because, as you know, Mr. Good Deal was losing 5 million on a full year basis. So if you assume 2.5 on, you know, a half year basis, basically it gives you an order of magnitude of that effect on the EBITDA versus the full drop of 17 million.
Just on Hungary, Christian, we have given additional disclosures also on page number 43 of our half-year report. What you should bear in mind is that, yes, we have generated an EBITDA of 50 million last year. We already indicated that we expect the impact of that newly introduced advertising tax will be a similar amount. So, yes, you should assume that our profitability will turn around the zero line as long as this piece of legislation is not going to be amended. That obviously leads to the fact that our expectation in terms of free cash flow has been heavily reduced, and we have disclosed and explained that on that page 43 in the interim account. And that is basically why we are now confronted with a situation in which the DCF trades lower than the former carrying amount. That was slightly north of 150 million. And there was, we had to record an impairment on Hungary that amounted all in all to 88 million euro, of which 77 million euro came from goodwill.
Christian, just to be, I come back to France because I just talked about the deconsolidation of Mr. Good Deal. You had another effect, which is the inclusion of Best of TV, which again, you know, led to a same order of magnitude of effect. So overall, relatively minor versus organic.
Okay, thank you.
We now have a question from the line of Vignesh Adiachi from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead, Vignesh.
Great, thank you very much. I just have one question on Spot Exchange. Do you have any plans to roll it out into Europe either organically or by acquisition? And do you see it as having potentially a conflict of interest with you as a media owner?
Yes, we have, although the clear focus is the U.S., to make it clear, simply because the U.S. is by far the largest market where the current programmatic dynamics is the strongest. Europe usually has always a lag of a few years in terms of online developments versus the US. So we see a potential for programmatic here in Europe. And we will, of course, use this opportunity to try to grow the business in Europe, but this will be longer term. Point two, we actually do not see a conflict simply because as TV broadcasters, our inventory is premium, and premium is sold direct. It's not sold programmatic, at least for now, and we do not anticipate programmatic to invade, I would say, the TV space at short notice, simply because the technology doesn't allow it, point one, and point two, we are in full control. It's our decision to go either programmatic or direct, and we have always have an interest in terms of margins to go direct versus advertising. As far as online in Europe is concerned, basically the same applies. Most of our sites are actually long form, more premium, and therefore, again, we can go direct to the advertisers or ad agencies. But, of course, you've got what I would call the second-tier layer, the short form, where definitely programmatic could apply, and that's where we believe there is growth to be made, which, again, is not conflicting, simply because the two segments, short form and long form, coexist, but are clearly compartmented.
Great. Thank you very much. Very clear. One follow-up. I mean, would you consider bulk? Is it a business that requires scale? Would you bulk up with more acquisitions in the U.S. if necessary?
Look, on this one, really, this is far too early to say. For the timing, we've got all the means to grow organic, no doubt about that. But, of course, in the longer term, one cannot exclude that we will do further acquisitions in that specific space. But let's say we've got all the tools, we believe, within Spot Exchange to grow organic.
Great. Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you have a question or comment, please press star 1 now on your keypad. At the moment, we have no further questions, so I'll hand you back to your host.
Thank you very much, everyone, for joining us today. We obviously look forward to speaking to you later on in the year, and if you have any more questions, either today or over the next few weeks, then please don't hesitate to contact me. Thanks very much. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining today's call. You may now replace your handset.
Okay, good.
Oh, nice. Thank you, my Dave.